Welcome to Flowery Branch, another Victory Monday edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and the Falcon head coach Dan Quinn is with us. And congratulations, you went to the left coast and took care of business. And a pretty convincing addition of taking care of business, I thought, yesterday.
Thanks, Wes. I really thought our resiliency would be on display. We had a difficult loss last week, how we'd come back, what our intent would be going out on the road to play. And it really shows the type of team we are, the extension they have for one another, and they really put it in their mind. All right, we're going to play like we're capable of playing. And, of course, it went big because of the turnover rate at the Spartan. We scored on defense. But you could tell the intent was right of this team, right when we took off and went out west.
Your defense has been dealing with it all year, Dan. The injuries, the attrition rate, some of the guys you've lost, the versatility of some of the people you've lost defensively. Well, it reared its ugly head offensively this week.
Yep.
And your guys didn't bat an eye. Those four guys catching the football went and took care of business.
It's a lot to how do I explain this the best way? You really gain confidence in your teammates when you're counted on to step up and you do and you deliver, because that confidence is paid forward, knowing when I'm called, to answer, I do. And so it was great to see Al had a couple big catches. We knew Gabe's, role would be extended in this game. Nick Williams was one. We've been working like crazy through the development plan over the first, part of the season, and he had his opportunity, had a couple big third down catches.
Yes.
So those were just a few examples. And I think Matt, to his credit, he knew that the plan's not changing in terms of how we execute, how we operate, and he didn't blink either.
We got into a couple of angles yesterday during the game. One, you knew going in, we touched on it last week, their front's really good.
Yep.
Their front defensive four. And the
linebackers.
And throw Ogletree in there, who's having 160-some tackle year.
Yeah, he and Barron, I felt the speed.
Yeah. You struggle to run the ball, but you kind of, I guess I'm going to expect you to say, okay, it may not be easy to run the ball. So we go back to a word we used a month or so ago. You got to be patient a little bit, right? But when they give you the turnover, then all of a sudden is there a more sense of urgency? Okay, they're giving us a chance here. They're giving us an extra rep, so to speak.
I think that definitely factors in, but we knew we were going to have balance. You don't want to get into a game where there's a bunch of drop back against a really good front where you're playing into their strength. So sometimes the run game, although it's hard sledding, there's benefits to it. And it opens up some of the play action. It opens up some of the keeper game that's alive for you. So it's a byproduct. Sometimes you needed one or two to pop to get our run game going like we did, and we didn't have that yesterday. But I would say it's important to have that run game going so some of the other things become available.
Dan, is there a real number when you talk about balance, or is it just a feel that we're probing enough with one area or the other? I think this is 2 weeks in a row you've been within like three or four of pass to run ratio, which is really the definition of balance. But is there something a little bit more in depth as to how you feel what that balance is supposed to look like?
We are, and sometimes it'll turn out in a stat number where we're over 25 in completions, we're over 25 in the run game, and that gets our time of possession good. When we get up close to the 30 attempts, that doesn't mean you just run the first 30 plays of the game and you'll win. It means that throughout this game, the runs are going to be a factor because it opens up other things. So I think that was a little bit of the case yesterday. We tried and battled for some of the runs, and I thought some of the looks were good. Some we had some shots to go take it, and we didn't. But it doesn't mean the emphasis is not right. But I think the balance, Art, shows up. Usually we get up in that 50 neighborhood of completions and runs.
I thought Kyle did such a really good job of really using their strength against them, their ability to get up the field quickly. All of a sudden, here are the screens, the three-count. That was the most three-count screens I think I've seen you guys throw all year
long. And we knew that because of the front, the screens were going to have to be a factor. And then the big shot that we took to Gabe over the top, against a two-deep look, it was the look that we had practiced. And so we tried to work a safety to one side, and then Gabe had a big shot, and Matt threw it a deep one to him.
42-14, the final out in Los Angeles yesterday. A couple of notes we passed on in the broadcast yesterday. It's the most points since 1973 that the Falcons have scored in three quarters of play in a road game. That was.
You had to dig deep for that one.
Yeah. Well, we sent stats.
That's kind of what I said during the broadcast.
Yeah, we sent stats and research on it.
Yeah. It was such a cool venue to be in.
Oh, yeah.
So it was my first time getting a chance to coach in LA at the Coliseum, and so it was also really cool. I don't know if you guys could hear it from where you're at, but our fans and hearing the ATL chant, we turned back and you heard that, and I thought, what a cool thing for us hearing that in LA. Was extra special for our team.
Well, it was interesting. We talk about two-way games sometimes. We mean run-pass.
Yep.
Yesterday it might be offense-defense because when you scored that touchdown after the fumble on the kickoff, your defense then got a turnover. And
right.
That solidified a little bit of their momentum, I thought.
I thought so, too. And we knew it was going to be important to get to the ball in this game. And I thought that was also true at the start of the second half. And there was a score and then a turnover created and then another score. So once we're starting to have that balance where we kind of piggyback and feed off one another, that's a big thing. But I thought it was a terrific throw and catch by Matt and Hardy, you know, to kind of one play in. Here we go. Now let's go again. And then to get the turnover on the next drive, I thought was equally as important.
Dan, in your experience coaching defensive football, can the turnover thing kind of manifest itself into a little bit of a snowball from game to game? Can you get a little bit of confidence and get that
going? It can, because the belief. And sometimes when you're digging for the ball and you're not getting it, you can get frustrated. So having a game where you're able to get more for sure knows, okay, the belief is coming. Now I'm able to go do that. So Rico to have one, for Deion to have one, and Deion almost had a second one. And we have a saying around here, good things happen to those who run, and defensively. And that's, you know, your intent when the ball is break. That's why we run. That's why we go. So when a tip happens, you're the one that's going to get it. So I thought for, you know, those two examples, good things do happen to those who run.
I thought defensively there was several moments in this game that if you were watching as a fan or kind of on the periphery, okay, why did they pick that guy? Why did they – that all came to life in the game. Deion Jones' ability to get depth against that in the slant route, be able to circus grab it, and then shove it in the end zone, his ability to do the entire thing. Vic's strip, get in the end zone. I thought all that stuff came to life for you.
The ball hawking, that part of it is getting better, and the mindset and the attitude for it. I'm specifically pleased with Vic's mindset for it and Keanu's. And so I think Vic has maybe six forced fumbles, and Keanu has four or five. So for those guys to have the awareness to go, okay, they're doing it, I'm going to do it, the next guy does it. Sometimes you just have to bring someone along with you, and that's a clear example of that. We weren't all the way pleased with the run game on either side of the ball, and we know that's a good area of emphasis for us heading into this week. We think we can run it better offensively. We think we could have done better in the run defensively. Mm-hmm. But our ability to take care of the ball and our ability to go after it defensively, and then, of course, on teams, that was the real factor in this game.
I was getting ready to ask you, in a 28-point victory that was convincing from start to finish, it's still to tell the truth Monday around here.
That is correct.
So what's the truth a little bit? I mean, is there some things you are concerned about coming out of a win like that?
It was, and the first thing, the truth was our intent was right in terms of the preparation that we had. So I wanted to make sure we reconnect to how hard you go. We're all an extension of each other, of getting ready. But, yeah, I thought for sure when we went back through the truth of it, we can participate better on third down offensively. We can have a better intent in the run defense and our run game offensively. So it's good to have things to work on. Honestly, it is. And the thing about our team that I like, after a difficult loss, we don't lose belief. And after a good win, we're not, you know, so full of hype that, reading the press clippings. It's a group that wants to get back to work and knowing there's another thing at hand. And for us, that's turning the page and working right on San Francisco.
It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Q, you guys do such a great job of balancing the two backs. And it looked like in – you get one that's running hard, doesn't mean the other one isn't running hard. You just kind of maybe ride a hot hand. Looked like Tevin had a nice feel for the physicality part of the game. He really ran with a lot of violence at the end of runs.
There was a couple of ones, was he going to get in? And they were not walk-in touchdowns. And it's how hard he could go, lower his shoulder, take care of the ball. He had real burst about him. You could tell that, you know, on the catch on the screen and on the run where it was getting close, I'm going to get it, I'm not going to be denied. And that was one of the clips we showed today, just showing that's intent. And on the screen, there were some other guys out there totally busting it for him, knowing, like, he got in because of the O-line getting out. And that's that extension of one another that we all like.
Vic Beasley's going to be with us in our second half hour in our player spotlight today. Tied for the lead with Von Miller in the NFL in sacks. You mentioned the forced fumbles. Can you speak to the growth of this guy? I mean, not just as a football player, but maybe as being a pro. I mean, just kind of understanding what this all is about, I guess.
There's a lot that goes into that, and as you get into your second year, you have such better awareness of the things that you need to improve upon, you know, coming off your first year, and the practice habits, the intent that goes into studying, and it starts with his get-off. He's got terrific explosion right off the ball, And then now the stunt package is coming alive for him and the way we can use him in some of the pressures. So he's got real humility about him, and he wants to go battle again. He's not a guy that's, you know, looking back and reading his press clippings. He's so soft-spoken anyway that his demeanor can be, you know, he's not shy at all, but he is quiet, and his work ethic is the thing that's really, you know, jumped out to me this season.
Did that ever concern you a little bit, that how soft-spoken he is and how here he is, the number one draft pick, and the microscope immediately falls on him? And
right.
He really began to burst late in the year, had two sacks in his last three games. And obviously, if you look over the last, 16 games, he's got 16 sacks or something like that in his last 16 games. So was there ever a concern that you had to worry about that? Because you talked about his work ethic.
I think just for him, he had to recognize it and put the belief in. And knowing, yep, I can do it. And he had to have maybe some of those moments, you know, like in a big game, you know, last year, I think he had a good game against Carolina at the end where he was able to get one. Having those moments of, yeah, I can do it at this level and prove it, it kind of sets the table for what you can do. And then now you put the work ethic in and the mindset. And Dwight's been a good addition with him of knowing, you know, here's another spot you can take your game to. But really, it's been Vic and the work ethic for sure.
You did play everybody yesterday.
Yep.
There's some good in that, I got to believe, right?
There is some good in that. And when you suit up, you know, we expect you to contribute and have a role in the game, and everybody did. We knew that would be the case coming in. I was really pleased with when guys, you know, get called to step up and make their contributions that they do. They know they're accountable to the other guys in the room and into that locker room, knowing that they don't have to be perfect, but they have to have their game right.
Well, you mentioned Nick Williams on the third down catches earlier. Even in mop-up duty, so to speak, Teron Ward runs with a thump behind him. I mean, he wants to make plays for you.
There was a very good example of that in the 4 minute. It was a third and three run, and he was hit in the backfield. And it was one of the ones we showed today saying he wasn't going to be denied, you know, to get a first down on it. So I thought that was a real clear example as well.
A couple of individuals stepped up for you, a lot of individuals stepped up for you. But Nick Williams, who'd been sitting there all year long, helped you a lot last year, waiting for his opportunity. And when he got it, boy, did he cash it in for you.
And knowing, you know, the quickness that he plays with inside at slot, to try and break guys off and man-to-man, he has a very clear understanding of leverage. We've been playing him both ways, offensively and defensively in practice. We're, you know, using him at nickel just because of his toughness and the ability to battle. So he's somebody that has won our Black Jersey Award on numerous occasions at the end of the week in terms of their intent of getting one another ready and upholding the standard. So none of us were surprised when he performed well.
We saw Beasley get to the quarterback yesterday. How much of a product was what your front was doing too? Because it looked like the without Claiborne in the lineup for a second straight week, it looked like they kind of got a better feel for the rhythm of what you were trying to do in that
and
group.
The stunt package, that part I thought was good. It's always you know, when you get a game where you get ahead, it's easier to, you know, kind of play as a pass first mentality. So we were pleased for that, but you know, it wasn't when one guy gets a sack, sometimes it's a byproduct of the other guys getting the work in too.
Jalen Collins continues to impress with his opportunity. I thought he made a lot of contested plays.
Yep.
Unfortunately, a little tweak of the ankle, but I would assume that he didn't get back in. He probably could have come back. He didn't put him back in, or he really needed back
in
the game.
We're hopeful as we get through the week with him, we'll see where he goes, because he has had a terrific, you know, kind of journey this year where he was out for four games, right. Came back, was inactive some, had a role on teams, and then earned his way, you know, back end of defense, stepped up when True went down. And it really shows how committed he is to the guys, because he's come a long way this year alone. And now his grit and toughness is really matching the talent, and that's kind of a special thing to see as a player.
Dan, I was really impressed with Robert Alford yesterday as well. Obviously, during the week, Rob signed his new deal to stay here and be a part of this awakening that's happening here in Atlanta with the team, and he's a big part of that. And for him to, I thought he played a pretty high level. Now, I didn't look at when you graded him out and all that kind of stuff, but
the red zone, that was the spot, Arch, that jumped out. You know, we had two contested, you know, pass breakups in the red zone. And, that's been an area, you know, for us that we've been working like crazy to try and improve. Now, they scored on two of their runs, but we did make progress, in the pass game down the red zone. That was one of our focuses going into the week. And, Robert was a big part of that with two pass breakups down the red zone, in the end zone, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Interesting, because I think we always try and talk about individuals as it relates to those units. But collectively, how much do you see this defense moving week to week? It
we've
seems
made
like
progress.
Deeper and getting better.
We've made progress over the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
And, the intent, the communication, sometimes that communication has to be verbal, nonverbal, the alerts that may come up. Here's a play that's about to happen. I'm going to give you the alert. And Deion Jones certainly has been one for us from a communication standpoint. He has really found his voice on our defense. And it's not easy to go in through all the new calls. It's getting your own self lined up. And we put a lot on him through this year to make sure not only can he get his self lined up, but get the communication out to everybody else. We're seeing that happen. And I told him that last week. I felt it in the game last week, and I felt it in the game again yesterday.
It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan, as you look, I thought your team did such a great job of saying single-minded. Here's a team that, you know, if they pick up a newspaper or watch a little ESPN at night, which you're kind of inclined to do if you're laying around a hotel some, you're going to hear about how bad the Rams are. They didn't even worry about that. It was about what they could get done. Here comes another team that's struggling a little bit in the 49ers that really had a lead against the Jets. They kind of let that evaporate. But I sense that there's not any worry in your mind. You're more about worried about what you're going to do.
Yeah, and at this time, just throw any records out. Mm-hmm. And it's all your intent for this week. Pour it out to get ready. And you don't have to look past that. You have to get into this week because that's where it's at in this present moment to play really good ball. So past this week, we'll leave that to then. But right now, our focus, our intent, how good can you play just this week?
It's interesting. I hear the faceless opponent term used a lot, both college and pro, particularly in football. What's it say about your – is it more about you playing to your standard? We hear that a lot, too, about a standard that teams set. Is
I think it kind of comes back to that. So as the beginning of the week goes, obviously you have to know what this team's doing, what their strengths are, how do they feature their players. And then as you get through the Wednesday and the Thursday and the Friday, where you have your game plan of how you want to play, then it kind of shifts back to you. And you've put the work in, now you got to go execute, and you can play really fast because of the work that you put in. And so that's honestly the goal and why we strain so hard to get ready Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. By the time you get done the meetings on Saturday night, your focus should be right back to yourself and your own performance. So that's where the nameless faceless comes. But at the end of it, we're going to put all we got right into this week, this opponent, this matchup, and that's exactly what we should do.
Yeah, you don't have to go any further. Obviously, the mission statement's there. You don't really need any reinforcement. If you needed reinforcement, you could just put on the tape of last year. This is a crowd that everybody felt like you were going to go dominate and beat, and they found a way to win a game. So. They're pretty easy to kind of throw some visual aid up there as well.
You got that right.
Yeah, the 49ers, as Arch mentioned, they did get 193 yards yesterday from Carlos Hyde in the ball
game. Hyde is tough. He's a tough runner.
So they're finding a way to run the ball at least, right?
Yep. And, you know, the quarterback's got real legs who can go. The running game was good. They've created turnovers defense. I think they've created, you know, maybe like 17 takeaways as a defense. So they are ball hawks. 34 team defensively, and so we'll have our work cut out for us, but we'll be ready.
Another one of those moments where you need the crowd to get in the building, because the Falcons aren't taking this game like it's they're playing, you know, North Texas State. They're playing, this is another National Football League team that's getting paid to come in here and try to upset the apple cart.
We don't know how many games we have left in the dome, but let's make sure every single time we go in there, like, we're feeling it. And so we're looking forward to it and being in front of our fans here at home.
One of the questions I'm going to ask Vic Beasley when he joins us is the difference in 1 year to the next for him.
Yeah.
For you. As you work down the final stretch here, and I know it's hard to step back and say, okay, we're doing a lot of this better than we did it a year ago. What are the strongest areas of growth you've seen? You mentioned communication in the last 3 weeks on the defensive side. What are the other things you're seeing about this football team? Because I see the young guys coming in, and even though there are not a lot of veteran guys here, and you guys have done a really good job of renovating the roster in some ways, it seems like very quickly things get, you fall into line as to what the message is and what the expectation is.
I think, and we're quite a bit different than we were last year. The first one, we have a much better appreciation for the football in terms of the way we want to go after it, the way we want to take care of it. And that shows, in our turnover margin. The next part, I think, is we've transferred from a neighborhood to a brotherhood. And, that was the responsibility of the players on the team to help bring every new player in here. It didn't have to be just a new player as a rookie, a new player into the system of how they were going to fit into this group, and then recognizing they have to be accountable to one another. And if you're not, I'm going to let you know. And if you're not holding up your end of the bargain, I'm going to let you know. And so that group, that connection, that closeness they have, that's a big difference to us as it goes through. So I would say the ball and their ability to recognize they're an extension of one another has come to life.
I think the cool part about that, Dan, is it might be a little bit easier to get a guy that's going to run down on kicks for you, or it's going to come down on a third down package, and he needs to be a part of the group. But it's another thing for every one of your guys that have kind of some name recognition, whether it's Julio Jones or Matt Ryan,
yep.
Alex Mack, guys that kind of are your leaders on your team, but also the guys that everybody in the nation knows who they are.
Yep.
They're talking that theme. That's the first thing that comes out of their mouth.
And that's the ones that help set it off. And it started with Matt in terms of the offseason. He wanted to throw, and Julio as well. So their humility, their understanding of the importance of one another, it's a really fun team to be a part of. And they enjoy the time they spend together. That's why it's good to, you know, go on a road trip like we did for 2 days. They get to go to dinner together on Friday night, and the receivers did Friday and Saturday. And having that time away from the building, it's important, because when you're really good in the locker room first.
I would, I don't know if it, how was Coach Jones yesterday on the sideline when he wasn't dressed to play? Was he an influence in that group?
Yeah, and he definitely was. You could see, how disappointed he was when he didn't, make it back for the game. I think he had a real mindset to say, I'm going to make it back. And when he didn't, sometimes it's hard to put it into a spot right away. Mm-hmm. And then once we got into the game, you could tell he was right in. He went, what's the call? And he wanted to, you know, get with the guys. So, being injured and being inactive can be a weird feeling at first for a player, and then once he knew his role now was to help the guys there, he nailed that like he does the others.
Matt's ability to distribute the ball yesterday I thought was impressive, and maybe you fall asleep a little bit. I would have as a quarterback. I got two guys that have a catch radius like Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu.
Yep.
You just
got to
get the ball in the area. I thought that maybe
I
thought
don't
that
think Matt thinks like
well,
you
no, that's I get the ball in the area. Julio Jones is going to make the catch for me. He probably doesn't think that way. But I thought he was really fine with some throws. Not as big a receiver, maybe not as big a catch radius, and he made some throws with people in his face.
Yeah, I think there was a couple, you know, to Aldrick. You know, that was
You
know, outbreaking routes. They played inside leverage and good pocket, allowed Matt to rip it, a big deep, you know, outbreaking route, and those were good examples. Like, I got to put it in the right spot, and he did.
All right, Coach, coming up on Sunday, San Francisco. All know too well about last year and the pride and the tradition that franchise has got. Good
no
heavens.
Doubt. Yeah, and it'll be another battle, and that's what we prepared for. They'll come in with a lot of pride. That's what NFL players do. So we know they're going to come in and fight like crazy, and guess what? You know, we are too.
Well, so, thanks, as always, for your time. Good luck in your preparation.
All right, thanks, Wes. Thanks,
all
guys.
Right, stay tuned. Vic Beasley joins us in the Player Spotlight coming up next on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Victory Monday at Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.